Retros are like Avengers Endgame.
Hello, and welcome to the Story Points Podcast. My name is Roger King.
Wait, no, that's me.
And I'm Joe Misery.
Just kidding, my name is George Marcantonis.
How's it going, everyone? This week we are joined by our good friend Greg Mead. He helps us revisit our previous series of episodes where we talked about getting started as a software developer. You can find us on all social media platforms. Our username is story_points. It really helps us out, and be sure to give us some feedback. We'd love to hear more about what all of you are interested in hearing. We really hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. So, recording a podcast.
Woot. So much fun.
It's weird.
So entertaining.
You got used to your voice yet?
The fact that someone said that we all sound alike helps me a lot, because I'm like, you guys have my voice.
Yeah, is that an insult to us? Or yeah.
It is both a slight on you guys and a positive for me.
Just how we're all the same height too, right?
We're not the same height. I'm significantly taller than
it's
you.
Fucking lie.
Not according to some people.
Joe, get up against the fridge.
Measure against like a giraffe neck.
I know, because I'm the one editing. I'm so used to hearing my voice that now when I'm walking around and I'm like thinking in my head, I actually know what my voice sounds like. So
that's
it
weird.
Yeah, it's really, really weird.
You're narrating your own thoughts.
Yeah. Before it was like, hey, what trying to figure this thing out for work. I thought my voice was way deeper. It's not.
Well, it's also weird for me.
That's sad.
Yeah, and then someone at work goes, oh, you all sound the same. Like, oh, shit.
But isn't that how George like walks around 90% of the time?
Hi, I am George.
Yeah.
It's weird because like after listening to the podcast, like after we recorded, there's a guy at work who sometimes I get on calls with him and I can hear my voice echo in the background. Mm, and now it's like I'm listening to the podcast, but I'm talking at the same time. And it's just like, it's a weird inception weirdness thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I've definitely got very comfortable though with my voice now.
I wouldn't say I'm comfortable with it, though.
We should get you editing.
I'm very comfortable.
Yeah, you're listening to it. You're comfortable?
Going from, I think I sound like Mickey Mouse, to we all sound alike? Yes, I'm very comfortable with my voice now.
It's not that high-pitched.
You mean yours isn't that high-pitched? Sucker.
Or maybe it is.
Keep that.
So how'd you guys feel about recording the first episode?
It was weird, stressful. Were we not drinking for that?
I don't remember, so I'll assume we were.
For the viewers at home, we started drinking religiously during
every
podcast.
This Woodford Reserve bottle is empty now.
This would be third episode 11 if we actually had usable content.
That's true. Hey, we only lost one because some of us got really drunk.
I don't think we did that episode drunk because that was an early morning.
Yeah, that was.
That was a coffee episode.
Was that the Bailey's episode?
No. I'm pretty sure we had Bailey's. Oh, wait. No, I think it was.
Or was it? No. I don't remember.
We were drunk, clearly.
Well, that's how we got started. Drinking.
In the morning.
Especially before an interview. Because that's a rough one, right?
Don't even.
It's true. Hey,
do you have something to say? Do you have a story point you would like to say, Joe?
No.
A shot to loosen the nerves goes a long way.
Yeah.
Chug a beer before the episode, before the phone call.
Now you got to sip it. You got to make it last the hour. Got to ride the buzz, Joe.
I forgot I did that, actually.
Nice.
When did you do that?
I'm not going to say.
Just pour it into like a mug.
I did it for multiple interviews. Nice. It helped.
See? Yeah.
You know, you just got to loosen up a little bit.
5-hour interview? How are you going to make it through that?
Not even.
Alcohol.
Like phone screens.
Oh.
Tell us what you do.
Non-technical? Wait,
do.
Really?
Well, maybe like sort of technical, but I think it really like it opens you up a little bit. Like, don't eat lunch. Chug
nice.
A beer.
Don't eat lunch.
Nice.
Beer.
Talk to the recruiter.
Brush your teeth.
Make sure to brush your teeth.
It's a phone call. It's good. Yeah, but also if you're going to be talking face to face.
Pop them in.
Hennigan's.
No, do your thing.
What's with the finger?
Do the segue thing.
Joe, segue.
Wait, are we retroing right now?
Yeah, I think so.
It's funny because nobody ever answered my question of what a retro is.
Hold on. My job here is to be the voice for the voiceless as as the non-programmer voice here. Retro, is this a, I need to know, is this a podcast thing or a programming thing? And if so, please explain.
See, Greg, it's a very technical podcast term.
There's absolutely nothing technical about it.
No. Retro is the kind of recap review meeting that we have at the end of our periods of work. So like,
or a sprint.
Yeah, sprint. So normally
the other thing I asked about in the first episode that,
all right, we get it, you're bitter, relax.
I was drunk, Joe, I didn't hear you.
It was morning.
So at the end of every sprint, yeah, we'll have a meeting just to go over like, what did we like, what didn't we like, what can we do better. It's kind of like a review and what can we do next time. Did everything go smoothly?
That's yeah, and that's what today's episode is going to be about, is going to be kind of doing a retro on the last three episodes.
Also because we don't have a topic.
Yeah, that too. And we kind of wanted to try something more free-flowing, just kind of relaxed, and just kind of talk about things that maybe we missed and we thought about after the fact.
So if this one is shit, you know why.
So sticking on this retro train, I want to know, because somebody made these terms up, right? So have any of you ever tried to like make up your own phrase or term that just
all the time?
Hit me with some examples.
Yes.
So I can learn.
I actually had to create a new thing at work, and it is for our physical therapist assessments. So I called it PTA. Like, you know, parent. Whatever that
teacher association,
yeah, whatever that thing's called.
So what is it? What like is that physical?
Like it's
teacher
just
assessment.
Supposed to be,
like,
it's supposed to be so the our members of the application, they can take an assessment and the physical therapist can review
it.
So I decided to call it PTA because it's a funny like play on words.
PTA.
Yeah.
PTA.
It's not as cool as retro. Sorry.
Yeah.
Next, try again.
But that's definitely something like we're known of. Like we actually had a meeting. So like me, so like pretty much like what we call like the big four for the company is like me, the head of product, and then the co-founders. Yeah. we'll actually like, yeah, we should cut down on the acronyms and like
already starting to cut down on acronyms.
Yeah, because. Like, you have to remember, most of the other people in the company, they're only, like, 21. They're, like,
damn kids.
Video production people that have no idea what AWS is or, you know, like, even, like, data science.
Cut down on the acronyms. I mean, that's actually a good point because one of the things that often comes up for us is, like, you know, you start a new service, right? And you want to come up with a clever name for it, a.k.a.
PTA.
PTA, or like, you know, anytime like you like start a new service, you're like, oh, I'm gonna call it this thing, and it's like, okay, you know what that means, but nobody else does.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Are someone brought that up during like a company-wide meeting?
There's always one.
And my tech lead posted in our like private channel, if I have to rename all of our services, I quit right now.
I had that same feeling when the CEO said, yeah, so we're going to go through a security audit because we have to get HIPAA compliant and we need to have names for our services to, you know, mean something, not just like a random name. And I was like, I can't rename our one service right now.
So did you do that? Did you start with like, you know, your main backend as like some ridiculous
Voldemort?
Yeah, it's like a different, it's just like some random name that I think is relevant. Like it still means something. Right, but
yeah, but like if a rando, if Greg came in and was like, and you were talking about that service, would you know what that does?
Greg wouldn't understand what we're talking about right now, so it's fine.
Listen, I feel like it'd be more secure if something was named Voldemort than like,
see,
our main program or yeah. Something like that.
You know,
well, that's the one we hack, guys.
You joke about the name Voldemort. We actually had a project called Project Voldemort. Where,
see, like, there you go.
What did it do? Did it kill a lot of things?
It had nothing to do. No, it had nothing to do with anything.
That's pointless.
At Compass, didn't we have some team used Harry Potter theme?
No, that was just our floor.
How many people said the project that shall not be named?
wasn't there a project Thanos?
No.
That might be at my current company.
Yeah, that's probably at your current company.
There was a project Thanos.
Your favorite project.
And I think it does like erase things. That's its job.
Just randomly, though.
Or maybe I'm thinking of the NPM package, Thanos, that just randomly deletes half of your files.
Is that like
you
chaos?
Downloaded that?
That's an actual thing.
You
yeah.
just destroyed your entire work repo. Didn't you?
This is why you create a side project.
Push directly
to try
to
out new things.
I'm so glad you got promoted.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is why you start on side projects, right? You try new things. Maybe you want to learn something.
Trying new things is good. Always good.
Yeah, since you guys were talking about side projects and you just mentioned it, like, do you typically use those to like try to find out how to do something you've never done before, have no idea, or do you use it to like improve on something that, you know, is vital to what you're currently doing at work and stuff?
So I've made them just to practice. I think if I am trying to learn something new, I look at what someone else did and I copy that, like try to make it a small change, try to make a big change. But for me, side projects have been practice what I already know. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think it kind of depends on how far you get in your career, right? Like for me right now, it's just, I want to stay relevant in the field. Like, engineering changes so much that you have to kind of just keep spinning up side projects to know what's going on and stay on top of things.
So here's the thing for me with side projects, though. Like when we were talking about side projects, it was like it was a thing that you did, right? And it took, I don't know, weeks to do. I feel like a lot of the side projects I have now are more like, hey, we use this thing and I wonder if it can do this other thing. So then it's like building upon. So it's like a very short, like 2 to 3 hour endeavor of like, hey, how does this thing like work? And can I make it do this other thing? As opposed to like a long lived.
No, that's fine too. Like when I came back, I literally came back from vacation last week. Like on Friday, I knew we wanted to do like work with webcams and tracking your body movement. So I was like, let me just try to spin something. I literally put a time on it.
Time box.
Like, yeah, time box. So yeah, whatever it's called. Time box it. Another term. And I was like, all right, what can I get done in 3 hours? And I got a lot done. And I learned, like, hey, this is actually something we can use.
Yeah.
So that is another thing. Like, it's a side project, right? Like, I have it up in my GitHub repo or my GitHub.
But, like, that is more, like, the kind of thing that I would do as opposed to, like, a long-running, like, application or something like that.
Yeah, because that's true. We talked a lot about like side projects that go on for like weeks, months, even, and then
I almost think of them as like POCs as opposed to.
But I think that's like as far like you and I were much more senior, I guess, in our career. Don't mouth that at me.
Shots fired.
I said much. But also, by the way, POC means proof of concept. So
I was going to ask. Thank you.
You know what's another thing we should talk about? The name of the podcast. I know I just went on a complete tangent, but I feel like we should talk about the name of the podcast. I'm not explaining it.
You know what? One of you two should explain it because I had a different idea in my head.
Yeah, I was trying to think, what did I want to call the podcast?
No,
I think I heard story points.
What did you want to call it?
Didn't we say, like, three guys and a mic?
Voldemort.
I coded Voldemort.
Don't be ridiculous.
What else did we have? You came up with story points.
Yeah.
And we
but
said,
I always
okay,
come up
it.
With random names.
So I think you should give your description of story points. Because, like, we've said the intro. We've said the kind of what story points is, and I have a sort of different idea of that.
The reason I came up with story points, so story points in engineering are ways that we measure bodies of work,
right?
And you're using what's called the Fibonacci sequence for it. And I just thought it was a clever kind of play on words, like story points. Like the point of the podcast is for us to talk about our background and tell stories that kind of point to the topic or the episode's topic. So it was like a play on words. It's not necessarily supposed to relate to story points, but it's like someone who doesn't know engineering, they like, oh, story points.
Yeah. Well, I guess that is actually sort of what I was thinking, right? Because like story points, and maybe we should give a background on what story points are for those of us, Greg.
I wanted to ask Greg, what did he think the name meant?
Yeah. I feel like it's a good name because it's like short and sweet. And all, you know, if you read the description and you see that it's something about programming, just story points, I just imagine that you guys would be, just as you said, telling stories about your experiences in regards to different aspects of programming. So not even knowing that story point was like an actual programming term, obviously that makes the name even better. But
yeah. How many times you see enough. Like front end happy hour, like,
shout out front end happy hour.
I love those guys.
Yeah. So like when you're planning work, right? We talked about like a 2-week sprint, right? So like you have your sprint, then you have your retro. So for a sprint, when you're trying to decide how much work you want to do in that sprint, you decide, all right, we can do 20 points worth of work, right? So like you have a ticket or you have a story. Like a story is like, is your description of a piece of work you want to do. And then you have like subtasks below that. So you can say, all right, this story is 5 points. And you can say, all right, 5 points is like, you know, a week's worth of work or whatever. So then it, like, it helps you decide how many points worth of work you should plan for your sprint.
So your first sprint was 3 points and now you're having a...
Whoa, three points.
That's
I'd
it.
Say it's like
3 points for three guys.
21 or well, something.
It's only three episodes, right?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, but how many hours?
How many episodes did we record that didn't make it out?
But, so that's a good point too, right? Is like we could say one episode is worth like 5 points, which
gotcha.
Is like.
Are you going to explain the velocity part?
You can
explain
the velocity. But like
is physics involved?
Yes, actually.
That's sort of the idea. And then like you can add one more person onto your team. You're like, oh, now we can do like X number of points more for this sprint.
Or to his point, you add a new person. Usually onboarding someone new on your team means everyone else on the team is going to be, you know, supporting them. So you might not actually be able to do as much until maybe a month or two later. So it's always a risk, right? It's like onboarding someone new. We always think about that. I don't know in like your field if that's kind of similar how you guys measure work at all. Or even plan work. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean like yes and no because everything, at least in like in the accounting field, it's usually and everyone has their tasks every month and it really doesn't change. And when stuff comes up, it's just kind of like, okay, who has – the least amount on their plate, and then maybe you'll combine a few people and stuff like that.
Who doesn't have enough story points?
Yeah. There you go.
I still think the story points are it's weird depending on like what company you're at, because one point in one company is like a 5-minute piece of work, and then 1 point at another company is 1 day.
Because you have to have a minimum amount of points, right? Because there's context switching, right? If you have something that's going to take you 10 minutes, there's, you know, really it's going to take you 30 minutes of like mental work between switching context and all that. So like you have to have a minimum, everything is worth at least one, right?
True.
Like, you can't say something is worth zero. So you could do like 10 triage tickets and that's like 10 points.
Mm-hmm.
It might not take you 2 days worth of work if that's what 10 points result like.
I have seen some teams go by days. I don't know if days is like a custom field in Jira, but they measured the work by days, and I was like, oh, this makes so much more sense.
But yeah, I don't know if I ever really did days, but it was like 8 points would be like 1 week's worth of work almost.
Yeah, you try to stay away from days because if, like, your tech lead, it's not going to take him 5 days to do something. Or if it takes you 5 days, it might not take him 5 days. It might take him a day or two. So that was the whole point of story points, right? It's based off complexity, not how much time it's going to take you to do something, because it varies per person.
It's like it varies how long it takes us to record this episode.
Oh, yeah. Or any episode.
Or any.
You guys are on a roll. Keep it up.
Next topic.
What was the next
I don't know episode?
Interviews from your number one fan here. I think it was interviews.
Interviews.
Oh, that's right.
Interviewing.
So I have a question that kind of piggybacks off the earlier topic with the side projects. Like in interviews, do they ask you if you have side projects going on, or do like like employers care about that? Do they want to see that you're kind of putting in extra effort, or is it kind of like, is this person going to use too much time focusing on something else that isn't company related?
No, that's a good point. I didn't even think about side projects like that. So for me, when I interviewed at Vision, the CTO really enjoyed that I explored around, tried to find new technology. And I think it depends. Like, I know for me, I enjoy if the person like looks around, doesn't just kind of like, I know it sounds bad, but like stay within their 9-to-5 job and just like, it shows like there's interest there, right? Like there's some new technology that they might suggest to me that I'm not aware of, right? There's so much new shit out there. So it's hard to know. So yeah, in that case, he really enjoyed the fact that I played around and he was able to see my code and he was like, okay, this is how he codes. This is what he likes to do. And I mentioned it in that episode where it's like kind of treating your code as what I consider to be somewhat production-like code. It doesn't have to be exactly, but it's so close where it's like, oh, you're able to know how they'll treat code. If they treat code, their side project code like this, well, they'll treat their regular 9-to-5 project code.
That's a good point.
That's how I see it.
Yeah. Setting a standard.
Yeah.
So when you're interviewing people for balance, will you ask that? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's something I've asked, yeah.
Well, it also depends, too, on the interview session, right? Because, like, if you're interviewing for a technical role, you're going to have technical questions that is basically like, these are the questions we want you to ask the person to see how they respond. And then there's going to be something that's more open, like if you're talking to the CEO or CTO or like, you know, head of engineering, where they might get more into like a more relaxed, like personal situation where it's like, what do you do for fun? What do you do for side project? Like stuff like that, where...
What do you do for fun?
I just laugh because he's like,
I'm here for this programming job. What do you do for fun? More programming.
Yeah. I mean, some people, that's what they want to hear. But like,
hey, if you enjoy it, more power to you.
I mean, I'm just thinking like interviews that I've given recently. Like I have this set of things, like information that I'm looking for where there isn't really that. Like we save all those sort of questions for people who are like higher level, like manager plus.
Yeah, because that's another thing where like if you are a manager, you're depending on the company, right? You're not programming as much, so your way of kind of staying sharp is through side projects. And if you want to interview somewhere, that's kind of how you keep going.
I still think if you say you like programming for fun, you're weird. That's just me.
He's called
you have a car, man. You can talk about your car.
That's for another podcast that we're starting.
Oh, yeah. Check out our new podcast, Cars and Things.
That's our
damn it. I locked us in.
Car parts.
That's actually another interesting thing, right? I saw some TikTok where they talk about how if you're a VP of engineering at one company, if you try to go to like Facebook, Google, Amazon, you'll end up just like a normal engineer. And that's like a normal thing that happens.
Well, it depends a lot on the size of your company too, right? Because that happens a lot with CTOs too, where they'll start a company and they'll be like, oh, I'm the CTO. Yeah, and then you move to an established company and you're like, okay, well, we have one of those already. Like, you know.
Yeah. But even then, like I know at Compass, we would acquire some companies and then they would, like the CTO would just end up being a director. yeah. engineering, yeah. right? Or like,
or they'll like stay they'll, on. They'll, and
I don't think they'll ever get
their...
that low to like engineering manager, but yeah. it's still like it's crazy to think about.
Well, you still have to manage all of the people who were yeah. part of that company yeah. before they get integrated.
Don't assume level means nothing.
It means you're right. Your promotion means nothing.
Talk
George.
To them, get to know them, and then you'll know. They know what they're talking about. They don't know as much.
That's true, because like we're starting to hire our second engineer, and kind of goes into interviewing. But
boom,
we, you know, the one of the co-founders said, "Oh, she you know, she has the person she has in mind has like 5 years of experience. She'd be a senior, right?" And I'm like, "I don't know. Like, I don't know what
well,
she knows."
You have to talk to them.
Yeah,
first.
Exactly. And that's sure. what that's exactly what I said. I said like depends on what she knows. Like, there's someone yeah. at I've worked with at Compass who he only has like 2.5 years of experience, but I feel like he knows as much as like any mid to senior engineer. Mm-hmm. So it all depends on how much the person knows.
Yeah. Well, so like something like that though, like you have to sort of know going into the interview what position they're kind of being evaluated for. Well, maybe not, because like you can ask questions of them based on their answers.
It
you
depends.
Can
yeah. yeah. I mean, in our case, it's like, we're looking for anyone higher mid to senior, right? So obviously if you have no years of experience, we can already exclude that, or like a year yeah. or two. Or like a year, I guess. But yeah, it's just interesting.
Do you guys have any interview horror stories? Because I mean, like for me, I've only worked at two companies full time. I've probably only been on like 4 interviews my whole life. But I know you guys have bounced around. I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, obviously, in a positive way.
Why do you
up.
Guys point to me?
But you
why do you guys look at me?
I feel like a lot of you have, or all of you have a lot of interview experience. Have you had any, like, bad experiences where you almost second-guessed the job just because the interview sucked? Not like, your own performance. I'm talking like the interviewer.
So, in my opinion, during an interview, if you're interviewing, you should be allowed to either ask, "Hey, I forgot how to do blank," or "Can I look up how to do blank?" Because it's like little functions that you need that, you know, you forget the names of. And there were some interviews where they said, "No, you can't look anything up. No, you can't ask." Where luckily I wasn't sharing my screen. It was just kind of like,
so you looked it up
notepad.
Anyway.
Yeah. So you're like, so you just pretend to read your code,
oh,
and you can
gosh.
Kind of talk. But at the same time,
like,
you're
yeah, at the same time, it's click, 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 click.
You open a new tab, you Google search really fast.
Really bad time to have a mechanical
yeah.
keyboard. Like,
yeah.
See? Pace have a quiet one.
They see your screen, you're not typing, yet they hear click, clack, click, clack.
This is why you do it quietly.
It's my pet donkey in the back. Don't mind him.
But sometimes it works out because you find the question they're asking. And then you're like, okay, how do I got to copy how they're doing this mentally so
I
that I
can
break it down
paste,
little by little.
So.
But like, or no, I there was, it happened at least once. At least, it definitely happened more where I didn't know how to proceed. And as I was talking out loud, I Googled the question itself.
So you were reading the question and the response.
I was reading. I was
I would do
talking about it and
yeah,
reading.
How do you sort
yes.
this?
Did you get the job?
I refuse to answer that on
okay,
air.
No problem. Don't worry, we can cut
actually,
that.
No, I think I didn't. So yeah, it's safe.
It's safe.
Safe.
I mean, I don't. So here's the thing about interviewing. Because I think as you become more senior, and I could be totally way off here, but like I had a hard time when I was starting out because it was like, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing, things like that. But like once you get to a point where you are sort of senior, I think you can easily interview. So like you have less of those horror stories because it's like, you know what you're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, I definitely had interviews where I'd go in there, not know what the heck I was talking about, and then like try to bullshit through the whole thing. Like you can bullshit, but like even if you bullshit and you got the job, then it's like, okay, you still don't know what you're doing. So it's
yeah, but do you need to be able to do what you did in the interview?
Well, it depends if stuff they're like, asking you is relevant to the job or not.
I mean, we talked a lot about how interviewing has nothing to do. Most of the time,
it's very different.
Yeah, your day-to-day job.
Yeah, well, I mean, what's the same thing with, like, what you were just saying? Can I look this up? Can I ask questions? Yeah. Like, if you were in your day-to-day, you're just going to
Google.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll read the answer, Stack Overflow, first response on Google's, and then, you know, that's it.
On Google's.
Yeah.
On the Google.
On Google. I was going to say something else, and I kind of conflated the two words. I was going to say Stack Overflow. But, like, you know, that's the thing, right? Like, the interview is so much different.
Yeah. It's not realistic in that sense.
To flip the question on you, Greg, like, have you had any, like, sort of weirdness in your interviews, or is it very much like you know what to expect?
No, I had the most cookie cutter,
yeah,
like Google, what are they gonna ask me on an interview questions that I was prepared for, and both of them were within 1 to 2 years out of being out of college. So, like, I any like answers,
memorize
were anything,
the answers?
No, anything I didn't know. Like, I remember, I still stand by this. I've told, like, my cousins to use this, like, for my second job. They're like, what are some of your strengths, or, like, what are some of your weaknesses?
Oh, God.
And I was like, well, I've only been out of college for 1 year. I've only worked full-time for 1 year. So I feel like I'm still, like, discovering what my strengths and weaknesses are. Like, I feel like I've succeeded in my role, and I feel like I can succeed in this role. But I can't, like, I can't really say what a good strength or weaknesses, because I'm still kind of learning what kind of person I am.
You know, it's funny
right
you say
looking
that.
Back, woo, that a lot of weaknesses.
It's funny you say that, though, because, like, I've thought about that.
Is it funny he says that?
It's really funny.
It's always funny.
Re-listen to episode one, and you'll get that joke.
But it is funny, because, like, I've thought about it. I was like, what does it mean to be caring too much? And now that I'm in, like,
yeah, but, like, that's
more
such,
senior,
like, a BS response.
But though, it makes sense, right? Hear me out on my BS.
Make
just
a weakness
hear me
a
out.
Strength. Like,
yeah, but, like, that's exactly what you'll find on Google when you, like, what are my weaknesses, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the response you'll find. Yeah.
No, but, like, hear me out. Like, caring too much. In my mind and the way I think about it, it's like, I just spend too much time on one problem.
Well, you're trying to perfect something that
exactly.
doesn't need to be perfected.
Exactly. So you're not, like, in engineering, you want to get something working, at least in a startup, as close to as good as possible. And then you're like, all right, let's move on to the next thing. At least at the place that we're at balance. So it's like, how do you find, yeah, the balance of that, of those two? Like, getting it to be good enough, but, like, don't care too much. Where, like, you're going to get bugs no matter what.
Yeah, being able to let go. And
just, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in a much simpler way, like, for accounting, right? If you have $1 million in an account and you're off by, like, $5, no one cares. But if you really care and you really need to find it, like, it's most likely going to take you too much time and it's not worth the effort.
You've worked with my brother, sure. And he's, like, complained to me. He's like, this group is complaining about $1,000. Like,
it's my group.
Dude, we are. It's $1,000. Do you really care? Like,
you know,
when you're
sitting
like,
in there, like, exactly. nobody cares.
When you're talking about millions and millions, like,
$1,000 doesn't mean much.
Well, here's another question for you, Greg, because, like, one of the things that I think we do on the tech side is, like, if you're interviewing for a company, you'll go on to something like Glassdoor, you'll look at the company, and there's a section on there for, like, interview questions. Is that something that you've done, or
I was not aware.
Yeah, so there you go. Well, maybe for something like accounting, like, it's not on there, but, like, for us, like, you can look up any company and it'll be like, what is the interview, and then it'll give you, like, reviews on the interview, like,
yeah,
reviews on the company.
I feel
like
both my interviews were really unique, because the first one, I was interviewed by 3 people from 3 different departments, and they were just picking out of, like, a giant group of graduates, being like, I want them in my department. I want them in my department.
Oh, so, but, like, they were hiring everybody, or was
they
just
were just
like...
hired. They were hiring a ton. They moved offices and lost a lot of people. So they were just hiring whoever they could get.
Gotcha.
And then my second job I got because I knew Roger's brother. So, like, you know, he recommended me. So I kind of had my foot in the door already.
Right.
And then I was only going to be working with and for one person. So it was really just that one person.
You just had to impress the one.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, you know, I feel like I'm pretty confident in my interview skills. But, like, there wasn't anything, and I was still so young in my career,
it was hard for them to ask me like technical questions and stuff like that. So like, really,
do you know the tax codes on like
the type of person I am? Now, fast forward 5 years later, and they're trying to hire positions, and I'm hearing about how the applicants have to take personality tests, and like there's all these other hoops they're going through. Like I think I interviewed over the course of 2 days with three different people, or it's like now it's more people, it's more rounds of interviews, more questions and personality tests. Like, you know, every corporation is different, but yeah it's changed a lot. And I'm glad I got mine out of the way early on. Actually just interviewed today.
Oh,
I had an interview today.
Since any we're surprises talking about
it. No, this one was like, this was stage one. This was,
Chug a beer beforehand?
With an HR person. No, I did not. I should have.
Rookie mistake.
I didn't have any in the fridge. I'll stock up for round two because I'm pretty sure I'm good for round two.
What did you say your weaknesses were?
I was not asked that. It's like the position is actually not an accounting position. It's pretty different. So I pretty much just had to spin everything I did to make it seem like it's
like
relevant
to
what
back.
I want
to
do.
But that's what you have to do in a lot of interviews.
No, and it was. It's just when most people think of accounting, and for the most part it's true, you think of it as more like technical. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like black and white, kind of you do it this way and you just do it this way.
Yeah.
As opposed to like really kind of analyzing stuff and making decisions based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no bad interviews from me. Have you guys had to interview people? Like, have you had a really bad person that you interviewed?
They don't let me interview people.
Not yet.
At
not
any
yet.
Company, they have not. Not they yet. They somehow all know, don't let George interview people.
Oh my gosh.
So
your first question would be, you play Elden Ring?
Yeah, man. PC?
Just wait until they're like...
Just feel like, yeah, some kid's going to walk in just like, have a Marvel shirt underneath. And
this guy.
Like, yes.
There's like a corner of a poster in the background. There goes the entire interview.
Yep. I would pass him.
But have you taken your experiences as someone interviewing and applied that to when you're interviewing people where you're kind of like, you understand someone's nervous or whatever?
Yeah, I like to try to get the person I'm interviewing, like the candidate, to be a lot more relaxed.
It's like a first date.
You pour him a glass of wine.
Sorry,
pour him a glass of wine.
Or her. Hey, did you have a drink? Do you want to go get a drink? I'll get one.
Well, it was like...
Maybe that'll help.
In an interview I was in, I'm not going to say where, the person just pulled out their vape and just started smoking
nice.
In front of me. I'm like, all right, I know what you're doing.
Yeah, but that's a little too relaxed,
my man.
In the
in
state
opinion.
That they're in, it's
legal.
They
didn't blow smoke
does
in
it really matter?
Yeah, maybe not. I mean, if they're in California, you know,
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
They're used to doing that all day. They're going to be doing that in meetings anyways. So.
Yeah, which they did. But
wait. So that was the interviewer who did that.
What a bro.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's different.
So it's different. They already have a job.
Yeah, exactly. They're judging
I'm
you. You're not judging
job.
Them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to find it like a... I just pull a pen out of my drawer and I'm smoking a random pen.
Got to fit in.
Yeah, it's a ballpoint pen.
Don't smoke plastic, kids.
Yeah. No, I try... Like, I really try to, like, get them relaxed by talking about side projects, actually, to kind of, like, boost them up. And, like, you know what you're talking about. It's just you're in this... interview scenario where you're just kind of like in this bubble and you can easily forget, like,
mm-hmm.
when we record these podcasts sometimes we just forget what we're supposed to be talking about because there's a mic in front of us
all the time.
Yeah,
and we cut and then it sounds weird.
Awkward silence.
Yep. So that's what I've done, at least. Like, I know where they've been. Mm-hmm. And I forget things and I get nervous, so
yeah. I mean, like, I'll try to do that for the first, you know, couple minutes of the intro, you know, keep it light, keep it fresh kind of thing. You know, don't come in as like you're this hard ass who's like,
yeah,
I'm here to judge you, like, you know. But there's also, there's a line that you kind of have to, I don't know, what's the
walk
word? Walk the line sort of thing, where it's like, if you're in an interview.
Fine line?
I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. So, like.
Balance?
If you're interviewing, stop.
Okay.
if you're interviewing somebody, right, and it's like you're giving the interview and it's going bad, like you know that they're not doing well, or like they're not,
you're not gonna waste your own time, but
right, but you don't want to like start asking them questions and like drilling down into things that you know they're not gonna answer, and then like make them feel even more uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So it's like you don't want them to have a bad experience, basically, right? So it's like
you want them leaving like, so you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Well, like, you don't like, well, like, yes. I don't want it to sound like you're giving them false hope.
Isn't that how it is?
To like,
no, you don't want to like, yeah, you don't want to
beat their face into the ground and then be like, well, you know, like I sucked, right?
So like, to go with George's analogy of a first date, it's like you don't invite them upstairs. You give them like a kiss on the cheek or a good hug, right? Like
a fond farewell.
Fond farewell.
Always leave them with good memories. No bad memories.
An Apple Step
right,
service?
But like,
yes, fond farewell.
But that's like...
Acknowledge a line approach.
On the other side of the table,
yeah.
Like, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, something I've done, and it's just like... It's just to kind of loosen them up. I'm like, all right, give me the spiel that you've said to like 9 other different companies. And they usually they'll actually like genuinely nice laugh because they don't expect something so blunt to come out. But it's like,
yeah, but like, you know,
like, no, you've said this to many people.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like,
yeah. Do you get nervous interviewing people, or did you, I guess, the first few times at least?
I do still. Because like there's like just what I just said, right? Like, because if somebody's not doing well and you have to like sort of prompt them and sort of lead them into a direction, like that's still like, it's not easy to do. So like, you know, you read the resume and you have the questions that you like need to ask, but sort of leading them into that stuff sometimes can be hard.
Well, to go off of the interviewing episode, what part of the interview do you normally give?
It's more like final round and like technical assessment stuff. So like after they've already been vetted basically by the recruiter and maybe passed through like a test or something. But it depends on the position, because like for some of our developers, it'll be like a technical screen. So it'll be like you talk to the recruiter and then this is the technical screen before we can say, all right, give them a test and go on to the next round. But for others, it's like straight into final round. So depends.
So you mentioned like if they're not doing so great, you have to lead them to whatever the best, the happy ending, whatever you said.
Sometimes it's rough, honestly.
That happy ending.
That just no
happy
it
ending.
Reminded,
a program.
What kind of interviews are you doing?
It reminded me like technical questions are normally broken down. So like there's 3 phases. So first you ask like the easy question. Depending on how fast they get through that, then you say, okay, now can you change it to do this? And typically, like, if they pass that, then you know, okay, they really know what they're doing. Then maybe you might have, like, a third part for, like, I don't know, if they pass that, then they're a senior or something.
Yeah, right. Because, like...
But that's how you can gauge, like, how long does it take them and how many parts do they get past.
But that's the hard part, too, right? Because, like, once they get to the point where they're like, okay, this person is good, and now you have to ask them questions that will actually challenge them.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, if they're just way above you and you're asking them easy questions, it's like, why is this guy interviewing me? And, like, he doesn't even know what he's talking about.
I think that's imposter syndrome.
You get through the questions,
maybe,
and that's
but,
it.
Like, I don't know. I always have that fear of like, you know, you're asking the guy a question and he thinks that you're kind of like, what the heck is this guy doing?
We'll get our intern questions. To pencil imposter syndrome in as an episode.
Okay.
So.
Did an interviewer ever yell at you?
No, but that also goes back to the, you don't want to like
belittle.
Make somebody. Yeah. You don't want to belittle somebody in the interview because they're. Like,
I'm pretty sure in my very first interview, the guy belittled me because I couldn't figure out FizzBuzz. I was just so nervous. I was like, I don't know what you're asking me. Like, it was just like.
Yeah, like, but that also could have been on him of
no
like
idea.
Not explaining it.
Oh, no. He explained it. He I remember he just said, just loop through it. I'm like, oh, okay,
I don't know what a loop is.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Look at me now.
Yeah, but like, if that's your first interview, then it's like, okay, you don't know what to expect, so it's hard.
I'm just giving people hope.
Yeah.
I'm still butthurt that I've never been asked to interview. Because I feel like I would do a good job.
I think you'd be a good interview.
I think you'd be like,
hey, man,
an interviewer's dream. Like, you would be pretty chill to.
See, I'm the dream. I could be the dream.
But are you the dream because it's like whatever they would say, it's just like, yeah, that was a good answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so definitely like that's also part of the. Like,
yeah, this guy doesn't. They look at me and they're like, yeah, this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
No, but that's part of the challenge of it is like now you have to judge somebody based on like.
Yeah, but
what you think is good is that
doesn't
really
it make it easy if you have the answers?
I just picture
it's like
it
you have
like,
the cheat sheet. So
you know,
like,
yeah, but you know have how the answers. We're doing everything.
You don't.
No, you don't.
No, like
shit.
Okay, like, forget it. I take my.
I'll
I would be a
I'll
good
give
interview.
An interview that's like a very open ended. Like design this thing.
I thought they give you like the solution.
All right, not even to Joe's point. Like sometimes when you have to do the technical like whiteboarding round, the pair programming.
Yeah,
it's up to you to think of the question.
Right, like you have to build off of like if they say something, you have to immediately be like, all right, analyze what they say and come up with a question and challenge why they said that.
This is why you've not been asked to be.
This is why I have not been asked. Yeah. All right. Shit.
Yeah.
This is why we drink during. This is why I drink bourbon during the episodes.
No, this is why he drinks. Period.
Somebody fill his glass.
So getting started. Okay. Maybe we should get back on track. That's why we need someone to run our podcast.
That's what Greg is here for.
I'm here for the wine.
So, like, what's something you guys would change going into kind of getting your career started?
I feel like I answered this.
I don't think
you constantly make me say, I wish I finished college. And once again, I'm going to say, I wish I finished college.
I just want your kids to hear this.
Yeah. Because I can go from finishing college to applying for like.
To clarify, though,
would you
right?
have done that?
Would you have finished college, meaning you finished your bachelor's in computer science or computer engineering, or done something like, you know, business or whatever?
No, I wanted to do computer science.
From the get-go?
Yes.
Oh. See, and I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But were you in computer science because you liked computers? HDMI 1 versus HDMI 2?
I don't understand. Component 1?
I mean...
Optical out?
I think when I was...
This guy's an asshole.
Debating on it, I knew I wanted to do something with computers, and I remember I was looking at information technology, and then I realized that's just Microsoft Office, and I said, "Who needs that?" So I,
who
not
needs
to
that?
Offend everyone who has a degree in information technology,
isn't there a joke at RIT? Just share the joke, man.
I don't really
no one
remember,
listens to this
I don't
podcast
remember anymore, honestly. I mean, IT.
So I remember you would always say, like, anyone who dropped out of computer science, computer engineering,
yeah.
They'd switch to IT.
Yeah, because that actually that was a joke for computer science in general.
Oh, so they would drop out of computer science, go to IT,
yeah.
For it meaning like I tried.
Yes, yes.
Because most of their classes
exactly. I forgot about
would
that.
Transfer over to IT. Mm. So,
yeah. Actually, that was my roommate who used to say that.
It's fucked up.
It's funny though.
So yeah, I wish I finished college.
So George's message to the kids: stay in school.
Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
Sponsored by the PTA
and the DARE program.
Nice. And Woodford Reserve. Double oaked.
Joe, is there anything you would do? You would change? Because you pretty much did like the, like, I wouldn't say the golden path, but it's like
a
more established path than me, I would say.
I don't know. I wouldn't change anything, but like,
would you take any risks? That's the question.
It wasn't the path I wanted to take, put it that way. Right? Because, like, when I was interviewing, I was trying to go for bigger name companies, something that I would have, like, an actual impact on with, like, real users. Right? Like, that was always my thing in interviews.
Yeah, yeah. I remember. Yeah, like, you were a lot on, like... And it's not a bad thing at all. I'm not trying to say it's a bad thing. Like, big name companies.
Well, yeah, I wanted to work for something where it was like, I'm working on this and somebody that I know is using the product. And
yeah,
it's like,
not,
oh, yeah, I
not like
on
me
that
where it's
thing.
Like 10 people use it.
Well, now, but like, you know, 6 months from now, who knows, right?
Yeah,
but
15.
Like, no, but like even, you know, you're working at Compass, like things like that where it's like you're out of become. But like,
yeah.
When I started, right, like half my job was reading electrical. Like I would go out to buildings all over the city, Stanford, like, and just read electrical meters. Like that wasn't what I wanted to do, right? Like that had nothing to do with anything that I studied or anything. I mean, don't get me wrong, I did enjoy doing that because it was an excuse to get out of the office and it was very relaxed and, you know, you're working and you're kind of like driving from place to place and usually I was with somebody else, so we're like, you know, we're BSing the whole day and kind of just having a good time.
Well, that was like
we had to
one
do.
Of the reasons why I wanted to get you out of there and like get you to
interview. Oh, you wanted to get me out of there?
Yeah, I was like, I want to, like, it'd be cool to work
Thanks for
together.
Pulling me out of the trench.
I'll cover back for you, Jeff.
I wanted, like, I was like, dude, this you could do so much better than
yeah,
like,
I mean,
like, you're so much smarter than that.
I
Nothing
know.
Wrong with it.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, it wasn't what I wanted to do, but it was a nice sort of, like, break from reality kind of doing that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I did the same thing. Like, when I graduated from college, I worked at the Apple Store for a year, a good year, I would say, before I actually started, like, seriously interviewing.
Yeah.
It was, like, you know, in my head, I was like, yeah, I'm taking a break, but it was really because I couldn't get a job, so... You know,
it's what you tell people, right?
You tell yourself that.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, it was, and actually, one of the weird thing was, like, at that company, it was like I was like the IT in quotes guy, right? And like doing IT stuff, systems engineer, also reading meters. So it was like a lot of different things, but also the position was like. Sort of like in higher regard because anytime somebody had an issue, it was like they were coming to you and they were like so thankful and all this stuff when you would help them. So like you felt good about what you were doing.
Yeah. So how did you feel when you kind of went from, I'm going to skip Zillion because we talk a lot about that, but like from Zillion to SeatGeek, did you feel prepared? In like, because we always consider Zillion to be like, this startup that was like so great, we were able to learn.
Well, it was compared to everything else at the time.
Yeah, that we all three of us experienced at the time. Like, we were able to learn this like bleeding edge, right, in quotes, technology. Like, did you feel prepared going into your role at SeatGeek?
I would say not really. Just because, you know, like, You do enough to get through the interview, and then you get on the job, and you're like, this is way more than what we were doing. So there's, like, a lot of catch-up, I feel like, that you have to do.
See, I kind of felt different. So, like, when I left Zillion to go to Rocket Trip, I had the opposite problem where it was, like, I had to work within pretty much applications or projects I didn't build from scratch. And I had a hard time kind of like building within that and learning other people's styles. Because at Zillion, I was very, like you guys knew, like I would just build stuff and just go. And like we would just use it and just build stuff and go. And like it's constantly like just doing that. So it was like a different thing for me.
Yeah. But like
experience.
At Zillion, we didn't really do sprint plan. I mean, we did towards the end, but it was like, you know.
True. Yeah.
It wasn't real. Yeah. I feel like, and then like retros, we never did. It was more
what
like
we're doing now,
right? Like everything is more like, I don't know. I don't want to say official, but like more like industry standard than it was then. So like figuring out what all these industry standards were, it was almost as if I was like starting new, but I had a little bit of a head start with stuff that I was already exposed to.
I got a question potentially for young viewers or anyone who may be thinking about going back to school for this. If can you think of like one specific course or class that A, you're glad you really like put maximum effort into and you feel like really helped long term, or like B, you wish you had focused harder on?
So I'll say like I did the bare minimum to kind of just get out of like my classes and just
get the degree
on. Yeah, Because I
honestly, get degrees.
Like, legitimately, I didn't know what I was going to do after I got out of college. I just knew I didn't want to be in school long enough.
It's okay not to know what you want to do before you graduate.
Exactly. Right? Like, that was, like, the biggest thing I learned.
Yeah, you
right?
don't do like, what you studied anyways.
So. I came from, like, a very traditional Filipino household where it's like, you go to nurse, you do something in the medical field. I was like, I'm not going to pass this if you want me to because I'm not interested. So I did something I was interested in, but I still didn't know what that would take me. But for me, like, it was just like, do something you care about no matter what. Even if like you, your goal is like, I want to be a developer, do something you care about. If you don't, if you're, you feel like you're not passing those math classes that will get you that computer science or computer engineering degree, do something you do care about. Cause you could always get your way into that field, especially now, like everything's going so programmatic, right? Like, I think you might have mentioned it before. I'm not even sure where you're doing something somewhat related to accounting, but it can lead like things are leading more programmatic, and you're starting to think more as like, I don't know if data driven is the right word, but like more thinking about the data.
Yeah, I'm still I'm trying to learn how to web scrape. I'm waiting for that episode to come out so I can listen intently and try to figure that out.
I think Roger and George are pros at that.
That was all of my last job. And I was like, never again. I'm not doing this again.
One more time.
Wait, didn't you also do that at Rocket Trip?
Yeah, I did that at Rocket Trip too. Everything. There's always a loophole for everything.
I'm pretty sure you've been doing web scraping for
a long time. I'm trying to get out of that. Actually, it's funny you mentioned that. When you mentioned web scraping, I was trying to find my take-home test for Vision because it was literally like you feed it a website, the URL, and then you just take the ID of each div or element that you see in the inspect, and then it will just scrape everything for you. So that was like my entire project.
What I need.
What are you trying to do?
No, like the job I'm interviewing for, one of the person who got me the interview, he just started doing that, and like it's a very analytical driven position, and it's a lot of sometimes you have to get information from a place that nobody knows how to, like where that a report or something doesn't exist, so you have to kind of think on your toes and go and figure it out. So he's like, oh, this could be a good tool for you to learn. So I just kind of started watching some tutorials and tried to figure it out.
So has he done it before?
Yeah.
Oh, he has.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll try to look harder because like it's very basic, but like anyone could build up more off of it. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a cool thing. I was like, I'm going to fucking open source this shit so other people can use it. But
send Greg your GitHub.
Yeah.
Boom.
Like I know for me, I wish I'd spent more time on Excel. And there was one specific course. It was statistical. I actually don't even remember. Statistical analysis, maybe? Something like that. It sounds like something.
Oh, that reminds me. Sorry. And I didn't want to cut you off. Yeah. So the whole point of my rant was I would focus more on SQL.
There you go. Oh my God.
What?
That had zero to do with anything.
I don't think
you said
SQL once, but okay. There you go.
SQL is like the main language for databases, and you will get asked that in every single interview. I can guarantee you any like entry person, like any entry level will ask you about SQL. And I wish I paid attention because every time I was like, I took that class and I was like, what am I going to use this? And now I use it all the time. So it's like, just focus on SQL.
I mean, you can't look at an app without needing to write
exactly.
A database.
That was the point I was trying to get at.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Because, like, you know, it was only one class that really kind of taught me a little bit more advanced Excel work. And that, like, always stuck with me, even though it wasn't even, like, it wasn't accounting related. I didn't care about the class, really. But, like, the amount of Excel we did, and then once I started working, I realized just how important Excel was. And I ended up pretty much having my own side projects where at home I would... You know, just try to make something out of nothing and learn how to use different formulas.
So to
kind of
like
that.
Flip it a little bit, to kind of bring it back to like the podcast, right? Do you think you would go back, like knowing what you know now, you have a lot of you've asked us a lot of questions about programming and just like our history. Do you think you would still go to school for accounting?
Ooh, that's tough.
Because I wonder the same thing, like, would I go to school for computer science or would I go for something different? I don't know. I really can't answer that question.
I don't know if I can answer that. Do I love accounting? No, because I'm trying to, like, get out of it. But there's aspects of it that I really enjoy that I wouldn't be looking at a job like the one I'm trying to get right now. I wouldn't be looking at that if I didn't have experience that I would have gotten through accounting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's definitely, I feel like that's almost as hard to answer as it was for me when I was 18 years old and everyone's like, so what do you want to do? Like, what are you going to major in? Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm just going to take some classes and see what I'm good at. Mm-hmm. And I was like always good at math. So I feel like I always leaned towards something that was heavily related with math. And then, once I kind of got into it, like, just I really enjoy learning the ins and outs of Excel and working with, like, huge amounts of data and, like, sorting it and making it look pretty.
There's this role called data analyst. You should look into it.
That's what I'm applying for.
Is it?
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. That usually segues into a programming role.
So, yeah, I don't know if, like, it's definitely very interesting. I've learned a lot. Like I said, I've known you guys for a long time, but I feel like whenever we were in college, none of us ever really, maybe you guys did because you were in similar, like once you were studying the same thing, you talked about it, but I never really asked you guys questions about what you were learning and stuff because all we cared about was when we were going to meet in Roger's backyard and get drunk. So the only thing that's different now is we have microphones in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's also, to your point, like, I think when we meet up, we'll meet up more often because we're more closely knit to the field. Like, George came in kind of, like, later on to the group. And it's just, like...
Doesn't feel like a George.
Thanks, man.
It does.
Wow.
What's your last name again?
Wait, who are you?
What's my wife's name?
But I think it's, like... We'll meet up more often because it's like, you know, we're working 9 to 5, then we got to go rant about something. And it's like, do we want to explain this stuff to you? But now that you kind of get it, it's a little bit easier, honestly, to kind of rant about it too.
True.
Definitely. Dan, I have a question. Like, when you guys meet up, do you bounce ideas off each other? Like, to help each other and with current problems? Or do you try to, like, not put that
I think it's more like venting. Like, this happened at work.
Today you came by before the podcast with your laptop open asking me if I knew Kotlin.
Okay, that was one specific example. Normally.
And you asked me how to use Storybook. Storybooks? Is that what it is?
Story points. That's the name of the podcast.
No. I expected a no. For me, normally, other than today, I just think it's kind of funny to, like, share experiences.
Yeah.
Like, guys, I just had my review.
And
guess
honestly,
what,
like,
happened? And
honestly, like, us sharing stories kind of gave me the idea of the podcast. Like, I don't know if I want to go more, if I or we want to go more like educational, or if we want to just tell stories and just see if other people like it. And I think we're just kind of like throwing stuff at the wall and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I assume like you guys talking to each other have made you feel more sane too, because you could have a really bad day and say this happened and Roger can be like, oh yeah, I had that experience, blah, blah, blah.
When I had a crazy manager, just sharing my experiences and hearing them say, yeah, that does suck. I don't understand why they said blank or why they fired you.
It made me feel like shit and
validate your feelings.
But this is
much,
how we started drinking together and
But we, like, I know Roger and I have like a bunch of time to be like, oh, how do you do this thing? Or like, how are you guys doing this? And it's like, you know.
Yeah, but is that more in person or is that more?
I guarantee you it probably, like, before this vacation that I took, it happens like throughout the day. I'll just be like, I got to figure this out. Joe, how do you do this?
But it's not in person. It's on Slack.
Yeah.
So like, it varies because there's like work questions that happen online. Then there's like.
But it's not like specifics, right? It'll be like, how do you do this thing? Or how would you do this thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it's like, I'm exploring this idea,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, how would you do it? just to get a different perspective, because like not every idea that we think of is going to be perfect.
Well, that's another thing with programming too, right? Like you run into a lot is where it's like you design a thing and you try to like write code to make it work the way you imagine it in your head. And then you get stuck and you're just so in that mindset of like, this is how it should work. Where if you ask somebody else, it's like, well, why don't you just do this other thing? And it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's fucking genius. Like, why didn't I think of that?
Retros are like Avengers Endgame. Hear me out. They go through the past couple of movies. They go through the lows and they kind of like do something, leave a hint to try to like make the next one of that better, Thor. Then they go through like the greats, like Avengers 1, and they just like go through a highlight of it and just like bring it up like, hey, wasn't this a great movie? But overall, it's like you go through the good, you go through the bad. You kind of set up the future.
And people die?
And people die. But, boom, retro.
Bring them back.
Just like real life.
But you bring some of them back.
Shout out Marvel Studios for sponsoring this
video.
Sponsor
us, please.